Hi, hello, and welcome to Next Time Tax Podcast. We offer crisp, insightful episodes on emerging tax developments and how they may impact businesses at large. And we do this generally through short interviews with tax experts. So I'm your host, Lokesh Gupta. I lead the corporate tax function at Next Time UAE. And joining me today on this podcast is Mr. Bilal Asif. Hi, Bilal. So just a short introduction on Bilal. Bilal heads the budget and tax function at ArcelorMittal Jubail. He's a seasoned financial professional with over 15 years of experience across various industries. Welcome and thanks for joining, Bilal.
Hi, Lok. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. So, Bilal, I'm sure it's a talk of the town, the UAE corporate tax regime, given that, it will be for the first time that UAE will have a direct tax. While the VAT was there since 2017, but we have a direct income tax for the first time being introduced. It's from what we hear and from what we gather is basically the whole genesis of corporate tax getting introduced in UAE is because of the commitment that the UAE has made being a part of inclusive framework. And as part of the membership, it's supposed to implement certain minimum standards and corporate tax governance or corporate tax regime being, one of the important areas to implement in order to improve the tax-related transparency. So I think in that direction, I see that the overall framework of the law is already there. I mean, through a federal decree that got announced in December and then the subsequent ministerial and cabinet decisions. So we have quite a lot as we speak today on several provisions of the UAE corporate tax law. But at the same time, what I believe is that, this is being an initial phase. I see that there are still some more provisions which are yet to be further clarified. And from what I hear locally here from the UAE is that we can expect few more announcements in coming few months. But like I said, broadly, the broad framework of the law and all key provisions are more or less there, either in the form of a decree or in the form of a ministerial decision and a cabinet decision. So therefore, Bilal, I know you've been following the UAE corporate tax since its rollout or since its announcement. So just to gather your initial thoughts, how do you see the tax landscape, if you were to talk about how it is evolving in the GCC as a region, then we come to UAE?
Okay. So when it comes to GCC overall, we have seen a plethora of changes in the last few years, and still we see that it's evolving rapidly, as you mentioned. And the main leaders have been KSA and UAE. So if I start with KSA, we saw from 2018 introduction of VAT and then transfer pricing in 2019, and then more recently e-invoicing, and then there are certain amendments being done to the Zakat and income tax regulations. Even from Bahrain, we see introduction of VAT and excise, and of course the talk of the town, federal corporate tax in UAE. Similarly, Oman implemented VAT and excise duties. They increased the rates from 12-15% in line with OECD. Even the smaller taxpayers were not left out. They have a 3% corporate income tax. So GCC has seen a lot of changes, and we do expect further changes to come in the near future. GCC is unique in a sense that we see implementation of GCC common market. However, now as we see that individual countries try to strengthen their own revenue streams, trying to build their tax base, we see competition arising on there among themselves also. We saw implementation of KSA country of origin rules a couple of years back, where if you're bringing some goods from within the GCC and you need to move them under the customs common law, then there are certain criteria that you need to meet. So all these changes have a significant impact on the businesses within the region. So if it's a GCC based business, there are many considerations now you need to think about before you set up business or you set up arrangements between the groups. I believe that the tax landscape in GCC region will continue to evolve in the coming years, There's growing pressure on the governments to increase the tax revenue and to modernize the tax systems and be in line with the best practices of international standards.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right, Bilal, that most of these guidelines that are coming in are, you know, clearly indicating that the idea is to align with the international standards, and which is quite evident, you know, from the provisions of law. If you, whether you follow the transfer pricing provision, which clearly says that it has to be aligned with the OECD guidelines on transfer pricing provisions. Interesting, you mentioned about KSA, and you know, that's a good example actually to observe as to what kind of teething challenges can be there for a corporate which it faces the direct tax or corporate tax for the first time. So, you know, for example, we see the more popular area to do business within UAE is commonly, you know, multinationals operate through a free zone establishment. And there are several free zone establishments within UAE. And given all the expectations and how the free zone authorities were time and again, you know, announcing through the awareness session, is that it was quite clear that businesses could expect relief even after the corporate tax is implemented. And what we observe from the present law of the UAE corporate tax is that UAE free zone companies are eligible for 0% corporate tax. However, the law has created a very robust framework which, you know, which seeks to ensure that the free zone companies do not take unfair advantage of the 0% corporate tax. If I have to maybe very briefly touch upon how the framework is now going forward, if you are a free zone company within UAE and if you want to be eligible for 0% corporate tax, there are certain key conditions to be fulfilled, and that amongst those conditions, it includes the companies will have to get itself audited. It will have to have economic substance requirement, which means a free zone company has to fulfill certain substance related tests within UAE. It has to meet all the transfer pricing related provisions with respect to its intra-group transactions. And beyond that, there is an interesting concept in the UAE free zone tax regime that it provides that a free zone company will be eligible for 0% corporate tax only on its qualifying income and not on the non-qualifying income. Of course, non-qualifying income has certain de minimis requirement, which is 5% or 5 million. However, that's only to take care or to slightly provide a relief to businesses which do not have non-qualifying income beyond a certain de minimis limit. So I think you're quite right in the sense that the landscape is evolving, and the businesses in which the businesses operated in the recent past, I think that is likely to get changed. You know, you talk about substance requirement for a free zone company. I see so many companies, multinational companies who have set up within free zone. They actually, you know, had all of them, most of them had directors which are sitting overseas, and all of a sudden you have a substance requirement which says that you need to have a free zone company which meets the direction and manage test, right? Now, which brings all the directors, which means that all the directors of the multinational company has to spend some time within UAE and take strategic decisions sitting or physically being here in UAE. So these are, you know, kind of changes which I believe will be significant for businesses to cope up. And in that sense, Bilal, you know, how do you see, what are the other areas do you see where businesses could, you know, look at the way in which they operate and how it could get impacted because of the UAE corporate tax?
See, that the whole discussion around corporate income tax in free zones, if we look at it from a holistic point of view, so UAE being the member of OECD and having committed to the guidance of Pillar 2 of the BEPS plan, so the intention is to eliminate the ability of companies to move profits between nations, right? So that's where the substance and the qualifying or the exempt items, this is how all it ties up. So that's the main idea behind the new regulations. So introduction of such corporate tax laws, they bring about a huge change in how the business culture is, how the practices are in the UAE. Ultimately, the aim of the government would be to to positively contribute towards the country's economy, but at the same time to make sure that it doesn't get, as you said, it doesn't get misused. So there was a gray area within the UAE about how the free zones can interact with the mainland or even within GCC. Now, this has been put in black and white. Now, you can't do that. There has to be substance. You have to have your full presence. All the businesses outside has to be taxed as per the CIT framework. So businesses, they need to consider the implications, how they interact with each other. They need to know what the taxable profits ultimately could be under the regime, how they can comply under the tax regime, and what are the final requirements that would be there. And ultimately, how they manage their liability, how they plan the business, how they plan their taxation. This is something that, yeah, all across the UAE businesses now need to consider, whether they are in mainland or in the free zone.
True. That's true, Bilal. I think it is for certain that there are going to be some operational changes that the businesses will have to undergo in order to adopt or implement the UAE corporate tax regime, whether it is to meet the substance-related test or whether it is to meet a transfer pricing-related test. I think there are going to be some operations-level changes that would definitely happen in order to implement or adopt the UAE corporate tax regime in the current shape. So if you were to talk about, let's say, a couple of areas or key focus areas that corporates should be focusing in order to implement the corporate tax regime and at the same time remain tax efficient, what could be those couple of thoughts or suggestions that you would like to give, which should be a key focus area for our businesses in order to implement the corporate tax?
If I were to list some items, the main thing is understanding of the new tax regime, computation of the taxable profits under the new regime, compliance requirements under the new framework, management of the tax liabilities. Businesses now need to invest in technology and systems. They need to build a strong team that understands the whole regime. So I would think that the biggest mistake any business can make is not just fully grasping the magnitude of what has to be done and the urgency behind it. So I'm hearing some comments that if, let's say, the financial and the calendar year coincide, then the tax return would need to be filed somewhere in 2025, giving the impression that you have a lot of time. But the truth is, you need to be prepared in advance for your financial years. The business model need to be reviewed now, not after 2 years or 1.5 year. Why? Because you need to comply with the transfer pricing regulations, the transfer pricing requirements. Your bookkeeping needs to be organized, so you have relevant tax information available to you. So that's an awful lot to consider. This is where experts like yourself will come in to support the businesses. You would take the knowledge of the business, then overlay the provisions of the legislation, and you would recommend to the businesses that, okay, now this is where you need to modify to be compliant, or you could optimize your tax situation if you modify your business considerations. So by focusing on these areas, corporates can ensure that they are compliant with the new tax law, and at the same time, they are managing their tax liabilities efficiently.
Right, Bilal. I think you're spot on when you said that a preparedness is a key. Yeah, because this is something which is new, and it deals with both. It deals not only at the operational level, but it is likely to have some impact even at the structuring level. Right. For example, if I have to tell you a very important feature of tax grouping. Now, tax grouping in UAE, that feature is only available to such groups who have holding company within UAE. So you may have, let's say, if you're a multinational organization, and if you have, let's say, 4 or 5 entities, different entities working in different businesses within UAE, the tax grouping feature would allow all those 5 companies to do a single window compliance. However, that feature becomes relevant to these 5 entities only if the holding company of those 5 entities within UAE. So I think that's where, you know, when you said that the preparation time is now, you're absolutely right. Because unless you prepare and look at both the impact on the operational part and the structuring part, I think implement likely to face some difficulty. So therefore, you're absolutely right when you said that the time to prepare is now, and it is triggered by both the business need as well as the law requires you to do certain things beforehand, before your tax year begins. For example, your transition provision. Transition provision of Article 61 says that all your opening balances have to meet the arm's length standard. So while you may begin your tax year on 1st of January 2024, let's say for example, but your closing balances as on 31st December 2023 has to meet the requirements of the transitional law, which is all those have to meet the arm's length standard. So I think it's triggered by both the need to preparation, it is triggered by the law itself, and it is also triggered by the business need. So very well said, Bilal. Any concluding remarks on, you know, what would you like to tell to your colleagues and businesses in order to prepare for a UAE corporate tax?
These are major changes happening now, and for sure we expect more to come. But by careful planning and preparation, we can minimize the impact of the new tax regulations and ensure that we are compliant. We cannot wait for the deadlines to arrive for the compliance. Rather, we need to start engaging resources today. Otherwise, we are in trouble from day one. We run the risk of not addressing the issues in time with a lot of backlog in our hands. Let's talk about, let's say, June 1st. It came and went, nothing happened, you know. But the countdown has already started, right? To get things in order, to make sure we understand how the legislation affects every aspect of the business, every aspect of the business model. Either it's your entity legal structure or your accounting standards or your procedures, your policies, your resources, your systems, you name it. So it affects so many things. So in terms of readiness, as I said, we have two options. If we are fully capable of doing it in-house, we need to start now. If we don't have the resources in-house, we need to get in touch with experts. We need to get help now so that we start looking forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bilal, thank you so much for your time, and it was a pleasure having you.
Thanks, Lok. It was nice talking to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks.